Unity.com.
So, last Tuesday we had an election. Maybe you heard that, right? About 50% of the people right now are rejoicing in victory and maybe even gloating a little bit. The other 50% are disappointed and maybe a little distraught. If it's really over, right? Interesting, so we have the election on Tuesday as of Wednesday. Didn't know anything about where things were at. Thursday, same thing. Friday, same thing. Saturday, starting to clear up a little bit. But we all know there's going to be recounts and legal repercussions and all that. It's not over yet. And I bring that up because of the series that we've been in, just talking about unity and wanting to be people who are united in Christ over what is most important. And it's interesting because I've been thinking about this. I actually saw a Facebook post from Pam Resnick that I loved. It was a quote from Dale Partridge, who's a pastor and an author, and it said this: if your comfort is in the power of men, today will be challenging for you. Today will be difficult for you. If your comfort is in the power of God, it's just another Wednesday, right? It's just another day. That's where our focus needs to be. We've been talking about this for a while now, and let me remind people, you know, both of the winners and the losers, our hope is not found in an elected official. None of our elected officials can save anyone. No political party, no cause, no stance. Before the election, that was true, and nothing changes now. Right? So let's keep that perspective, whether your side is winning or losing, won or lost. And remember what we talked about in our series. Jesus, he didn't come to take sides. Right? Jesus isn't Democrat or Republican. He didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. And that's what we want. We want Jesus to be our king. To be our king. A king does whatever they want. And as a perfect king, whatever Jesus does and says is truly what is best. So that's got to be our heart. That's got to be our perspective. And I hope that you will remember that, cling to that, even though today we are kind of moving on from that series. I hope that's something you can carry with you as we do, okay? All right, so moving to a new idea this morning, and we'll actually have 2 weeks here, a little mini-series. In 3 weeks, we're actually going to start a series in the book of 1 Peter. And we're going to be in that for quite some time. I hope you'll kind of come and follow along with us. I think that's going to be a great journey. Some really amazing stuff in all of God's Word, but that book is pretty awesome. So, but these 2 weeks, work in progress, right? In manufacturing in the industry, there's a phrase, that's a phrase that's often used to describe when you have goods that are no longer raw materials, but they're also not yet finished with the product. Work in progress. Like, if you were to take iron into the foundry for making manhole covers, and until they're ready to be laid in the hole, they're still just a work in progress. I use that example because my dad worked at the foundry and recently retired, so congratulations, Dad, who's out there. he's not doing that anymore, but it's an example, right? It's work in progress. You can go buy a ball of yarn and intend to make it into a sweater or a scarf or some mittens, but until it's a sweater or a scarf or mittens, it's still a work in progress. Take the stage, right? Clearly a work in progress. It's in the process of being transformed into something different, into something better. You can see glimpses of what it's going to be. You can see it to start to take shape a little bit, but until it's finished, it's still a work in progress. And I was thinking about that this week and how great it would be if change were instant, right? Like the stage, if it could be transformed instantly, or like my front porch project or those house projects that you guys are working on trying to get done before the snow flies. How nice would it be if we could have those things instantly change, like snap your fingers and poof, it's done. But it really doesn't work that way, does it? I mean, maybe if you just pay someone to do it, it feels like that, but you know, you have to break down the old stuff. You have to put in the sweat and the energy and the time. You have to actually dig the hole or haul away the lumber or clean up the dust lying around everywhere. Well, as followers of Jesus, we too are in the process. We're a work in process. We're being transformed by God. We are being changed into the image of Jesus. We're all still just works in progress. Now, as I was thinking about that this week, I thought about the story of Moses, and we'll get to the point of why I thought of that in a few moments. But you remember that God called Moses up the mountain and gave him the Ten Commandments and the law. And while he was speaking with God, the people made a statue, a cow, out of gold they collected from among themselves, and they put it together themselves. But then they danced around this thing and worshiped it like it was some kind of god. Here they were being led by God through the wilderness, right? Out of captivity in Egypt with all those signs and wonders. They saw God by form of a cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, and yet they go back to worshiping this stupid idol. And in anger, when Moses came down, he broke the stone tablets that God had given him. Now, eventually, God called him to go back up the mountain a second time, and God wrote the commands again on two new stone tablets. Now, that's where we're going to kind of pick up the story. We're going to jump around to a few places in the Bible. I'll be reading for you. You can follow along if you like. But Exodus 34, starting in verse 29. It says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him. And Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with them, to speak with God. Now here's the thing. So there's this moment where Moses meets with God and he's given the commands that they're to follow. And there's a bit of an instant change in him, right? His complexion, his face. It shines because he encountered God. It was instant. But here's the thing. We might wonder, why is transformation for us sometimes taking so long? But the work that God is doing in us as followers of Jesus is actually a far better work. We are being transformed not by commandments and rules and laws written on stone tablets, because they only serve to prove that we're guilty and that we're inadequate and that we're unrighteous. The law leads to death. Instead, we're being transformed in a better way by the work of the Holy Spirit, which leads to life. Now, Paul talks about this, this story that we just read about Moses, and he talks about this in his letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 7. Now, if the ministry of death, talking about the law which led to death ultimately, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face, so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. Now, you're talking about the people of Israel here and the reliance upon this law when Christ has come to do away with it. But the same idea is true for us. If we still rely on our own efforts to follow the laws, the rules, and the commands, instead of relying on the grace and mercy of God that was given to us through Jesus, it's like the veil is still there. Right? God demonstrated his love for us in Jesus. He poured out his Spirit into us when we put our faith and trust in him. And it's like the veil has been lifted. But until then, it's like the veil is keeping us from seeing the true glory of God. In fact, Paul goes on to say in the next chapter, in chapter 4, he says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Right? That veil that is over our eyes that prevents us from seeing the true glory of God, who is Jesus, is because of the work of the evil one. The devil, Satan. Back to 2 Corinthians, though, Paul says in verse 16, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Right, it's removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So he's saying, look, we have this kind of glory, this one kind of glory, that was given to us through the law, right? Moses, the veil, the Ten Commandments, and the law. But that law led to death. But now, we've received a far greater glory. We are being transformed by God through the Holy Spirit of God. Now when Paul uses the phrase in that verse that says being transformed, it's a Greek word metamorpho, or metamorpho is how we probably would say it, morpho. And that sounds familiar, right? Sounds like the word metamorphosis. And it is very similar. Metamorphosis is this, a change of the form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. Okay? A change of the form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. That's a pretty good picture of what this Greek word means in this verse too. There's a few significant differences or things to point out. And the first one is this, and this is kind of, there's just four ideas about our transformation that God is bringing us about this morning that I want us to think about. And the first one is this, when it comes to transformation, transformation is a supernatural process, not a natural one. Right? That definition says by either natural or supernatural means. Our transformations as followers of Christ, it's a supernatural one. There's nothing in the natural part about it. We don't become more godly because of our own effort or our own hard work. It happens supernaturally through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's God who's doing the work in us. I want to share with you this passage from Ezekiel where God is speaking through a prophet and he talks about how he's going to do this. And this is what God says through Ezekiel. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. All right, so we're going to walk like he wants us to. We're going to obey like he wants us to, but it isn't going to be on our own effort. It's going to be because we have his spirit within us. Now, listen to the phrases that's in here over and over again. I will, I will, I will, I will, right? God says over and over, I will do this. Like even before Christ came, he predicted a time that he would do this incredible work in his people. So transformation is a supernatural process, not a natural one. Now, if there's any effort that's on our part, it's that we're willing to surrender ourselves to the work that God wants to do in us. And that brings us to kind of the second thing. Transformation is the result of being with Jesus. Transformation is the result of being with Jesus. So the first part of that word, that metamorphosis or metamorpho, is the word meta, and it means change from being with. Right? Like with Moses, he was with God, and there was a change. Right, his very complexion changed. Now, with us, God doesn't force the issue upon us. He wants to transform us into the image of Jesus, but in order to accomplish that, we need to be with him. Right? We need to spend time with him. We need to cooperate with him. So after Jesus was raised to life and ascended to heaven, the disciples started preaching the good news of Jesus being raised from the dead. And he offering salvation to those who would believe and trust in him, because that was what Jesus told them to do. And there's a time where Peter and John are brought before the religious leaders who question them about why they're doing this and what's going on. And the disciples told them, look, it's Jesus who empowered us to do this. Right? And they again proclaimed, even to these leaders, that he was the only one who could bring salvation. And here's what it says in Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished. Really nice to be called that, by the way, right? Oh, you're just uneducated, common men. Great. But they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. I love that. I love that. I really do. The people around them noticed something drastically different about these disciples. And the only thing that could have caused this to happen was that they had been with Jesus. Because the more time you spend with someone, the more they rub off on you, right? A few weeks ago, I told the story about being at Badger Boys State back when I was in high school. And it was interesting because it was kind of a political government training weekend, whatever. And my roommate for that weekend was a guy who was called JB. And I remember at the end of the week going home with my friends. And we're riding in the car and someone said something and I responded in a certain way. And they just all turned and looked at me and they're like, oh my gosh, you're talking just like JB. And I was like, yeah, I guess I kind of did, right? I was a little embarrassed, but they were right. Right? Just from a short week together, he had completely rubbed off on me. And I was even talking differently. Well, that's what will happen when we spend time with Jesus, right? Imagine the world around us being able to tell just by looking at us, seeing us, how we live, how we act, how we speak, that we are his disciples because we had been with Jesus. Right? When we spend time with Jesus, the end result is that we'll be transformed into something really good. So transformation is the result of being with Jesus. That's the second thing. The third thing is this. transformation brings about something greater. Right? It brings about something greater. Like, God isn't in the business of making us worse than we were. He's trying to bring about something greater and something more beautiful and something more complete. One of the verses we read in this passage, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. From one degree of glory to another. That's where we get this idea of being taken from glory to glory. We are someone who's being transformed. Transformed from being a person who was given one kind of glory, the law, which ultimately couldn't save us, to another greater glory, the Spirit who brings life through our faith and trust in Christ. Right? So, that's the third thing, is that transformation brings about something greater. And here's the last thing. Transformation almost always takes time. Transformation is a supernatural process, but it's still a process. Right? It usually happens gradually, not instantly. Now, with Moses in this story, it was pretty instant, at least his face being changed, that was pretty instant. It's like he glowed, and I'm thinking, that'd be pretty cool. If we just, as followers of Jesus, spent time with God and boom, we're glowing, we'd be able to walk around, people would be like, yeah, that person was with Jesus, that's for sure. It was fairly quick and noticeable for Moses. It's not always fairly quick and noticeable for us. The change doesn't always happen right away. Now, sometimes it does. Sometimes there's a drastic life-altering experience, like when Paul was blinded by God and, instant change for him as he began to tell others about Jesus. Sometimes there's something drastic and radical that happens in our life when we come to faith in Christ, because he saves us out of something that's pretty dark and brings us into this incredible light. It is still an incredible process, regardless of how drastic it looks. But oftentimes, this is still a journey, right? This is still a journey. It's going to take time. Even if we have a drastic change at first, we got a long way to go, and until the end of our life, God's going to be working on us and working on us. So provided that we're cooperating with the Holy Spirit, we can be sure that the transformation and the change that he's bringing about in us, he is going to accomplish it, right? He will be faithful to bring it about in us. And that's our last verse here, Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Next week, we're taking a further step in this idea. We're a work in progress. But the reality is that it's tough sometimes. And even as we often look at our own life, we see difficulty, we have disappointment, we have frustration with our own imperfection, right? Because we realize that we're not where we should be. We're not at the place maybe God wants us to be, right? So we're going to be talking a little bit about that part next week. And I want to encourage you. I think next week is going to be a really encouraging week for all of us. I want to encourage you, first of all, to be here, whether it's online or in person, but also invite people to join you. Honestly, invite people to join you, whether, again, it's here in person or online. I think it's going to be really an encouraging morning to think about what God wants to do in us and how much he values and loves us. So I would encourage you specifically to do that for this next week. But again, the process he's taking us through, we're going to get to where he wants us to be. Philippians 1:6. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. All right, so these are four things about transformation that are ring true and things that are important that God is bringing about. Transformation is a supernatural process. Transformation is the result of being with Jesus. Transformation brings about something greater. And transformation almost always takes time. I think we can be confident that as we surrender to and rely upon him, that he'll continue to make us more and more like Jesus, like Christ. He'll take us from this former glory, which is about us trying to measure up, which we couldn't do, which brought us ultimately death through the law because we couldn't accomplish it, to a much, much better one. A glory that brings life and eternity to all who believe. All we need to do is surrender to him and allow him to do his work in us. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. We're going to close this morning with a couple of songs. And before we do, I just want to say a word about them. The songs are first of all, We Bow Down. Here I Bow is actually the name of the song. And as we sing that, that's the posture we want to take. We want to be bowing our hearts before God, allowing him to accomplish what he wants. There's a song called Canvas and Clay. And it's just about him doing his molding, his shaping, his work in us. And we'll close with this song, From Glory to Glory. And that's very much a reflection of this passage here in 2 Corinthians, that God is taking us from something that was going to end, something, it was a glory, but it wasn't as great as what he has in store for us now. And that's what he's bringing about in our life. So I want to encourage you to join us in worship and to allow these songs to speak to you about this idea of being transformed and changed by God as we worship. So let's pray and we'll close our time in worship. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that your desire is not to leave us where we're at, but that you long to do a work in us. We are works in progress. You're bringing about transformation, and that transformation isn't always easy. But you will be faithful to complete it. Help us to surrender to what it is you want to accomplish in us and through us by the power of your Holy Spirit that you put in us when we come to faith, when we believe. And Lord, as we surrender to you, make us into something beautiful, something greater than we were before. We know we can't accomplish this on our own. No matter how much we try, it's really about you doing your work in us. So again, we surrender to you. Bring it about in us, we pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.